It's an ambitious goal with really only one purpose. Not to report, but rather to help educate. It's always been beyond the passion to study the history of Native Americans. But it's a story that's handed down rather than written down. And in doing research, you can't help but look at everything around you and see that many of the things that we are taught by are handed down stories, even the Bible. It's King James' interpretation of the Bible, which go hand in hand with the lessons taught to the disciples. It's the way that they heard the word shared with them. And through the years, it has made it into our lives. The Quans are the same way. These are interpretations as shared, not by putting a pen in your hand or putting a typewriter below your fingertips. My goal is to take it to a different level, to hear the words, to feel the passion, to see the dreams of those that have lived the life of a black belt and beyond. I share with you modern day masters of the Quans.
I'm Master Evans from King Tiger Taekwondo, North Charlotte. My history with Taekwondo, I actually started training in Taekwondo when I entered East Carolina University. I had been training before. I actually started my training when I was 6 in Mudaquan.
The name Mudaquan means school of martial virtue, or a place to learn the right thing to do to stop conflict.
I had trained in that from the time I was 6 until I was about 12, and then I stopped and started back training again when I was 14 through the time I was 18.
Quan Ki is credited for being the creator of Mudaquan. He was a very young boy. He watched a group of old Koreans defend themselves through Taekyon,
which is comprised mostly of kicking techniques.
By the age of 22, Korea had been taken over by Japan. Quan Ki was forced to read only books of karate, which he found along railway libraries. Quan Ki combined what he knew of the Japanese art with that of the Korean martial art, and he called this Hwang Soo-do. It was Subak-do that became Mudaquan.
I didn't know if I was trained in karate or what I was doing. I mean, I was a kid, and it was the only thing offered in a small town. So I really didn't have any comparison to it. To me, Mudaquan was a very traditional style, whereas the style of Taekwondo that we trained in, the WTF style, was more of what I consider the new style of Taekwondo. It's still very new, and Mudaquan has its bringing up from a lot of karate, a lot of Shotokan karate.
In the year 1960, 75% of all martial artists in Korea were practicing Mudaquan.
Most people would think, okay, well, you trained in a Korean style of martial arts, you went and trained in another Korean style of martial arts, then it must have been a very easy transition, which it wasn't, because the styles were very different. And a lot of what we did with Mudaquan, even some of the things we do in Taekwondo, you can see the lineage or the history and how the Korean martial arts have changed from the time of the inception of the Quans until now.
In 1961, the Korean government initiated a movement to unify all of the martial arts schools in existence under one governing body. It was to be called the Korean Taekwondo Association, only to be later renamed the Korean Taekwondo Association. Now, the purpose of this body was to unify the Quans and allow for great growth of this newly named Korean martial art. The question in many back corners of martial arts is, how much of an influence did Japan have on this?
I've heard Grandmaster Jung even say this. When it came to the inception of WTF, when it came to them creating their style, creating their form, in a rush to not be so much like Japanese martial arts, there were some things that were left out. When you go back and look at the way Master Lee teaches, he still keeps that history. The influx of the Japanese or even the Okinawans, where a lot of the training or what we do comes from, it's still the way that we teach just because of our history and our lineage. And you don't see that in all places when you go and train in Taekwondo.
But what is the history? What is the lineage? There are no books, just words handed down from master to master. Or you can get on the World Wide Web and read statements like this. Is it an ancient art form from 50 BC? Some martial artists say that's a false statement. It was formed by unifying the Quans that originated from 1945 to 1960. The Quan instructors studied Shotokan karate or judo in Japan and then formed their own Quan in Korea. Between 1945 and 1960, there were 40 different Quans that had sprung up all over Korea. All the Quans were competing with one another, and this was preventing the idea of Taekwondo becoming a national sport.
It was more or less forced on the Kwan heads to unify to form one national sport.
My name is Master Nam, and I'm teaching in the Optimum Taekwondo Academy in the Charlotte, North Carolina. Taekwondo is in sports. When I was learning Taekwondo, Taekwondo to me, it was like a daily life.
Taekwondo, a sport, a way of life. For somebody who grew up in Korea, how important was the history of what was changing his life?
1919 through 1945, Korea was kind of like overseen by Japan, so which is like Japan overruled Korea and they made 36 years. Back then, the Japanese people, they didn't want to see any Korean people training Taekwondo because it's going to be against them. It's bad for them, good for us, but definitely bad for them.
Studying Taekwondo during that 36-year period was nothing like today's modern-day dojang.
They totally prohibited any kind of activity in the Taekwondo. Someone even training, they got the training under the ground or some hiding in the bushes.
Kwans, in a country torn by war. The true question is, who were they?
Kwans starting after early 1940s, the people who study in Japan, because one time Japan government tried to change everybody's name in Japanese style. So if they don't do it, they put them in the jail. So whatever happened was even in the school, they have to speak Japanese, and all the teachers supposed to speak with the Japanese. So student didn't understand. Well, too bad, that kind of situation. So whatever happened was any high society or who just really smart, their parents are sent to their kid to Japan to learn Japanese better.
So many of the Taekwondo grandmasters were actual students of Japan.
Unfortunate thing is all different grandmasters are from different provinces. So when they come back and they start opening Kwan. So Kwan is not has long history. Kwan's just starting about early 40s. Before that, the early 40s, and before that, another 36 years, we didn't have any Kwan. Taekwondo is Taekwondo, just different name. Taekyeon, we call it Taekyeon, Subakdo, Dangsudo, all different kind of name. As you know, just a couple of thousand years of history, this name changed. And I bet anybody who just tried to make a Kwan early 40s, and if anybody still survive these days, when they see Taekwondo these days, they're gonna say, what the heck is this?
What would the grandmasters before Taekwondo think? Martial arts in Korea was about to change thanks to General Choi.
I'm Master Summers, head of the School of Family Martial Arts.
Who was this gentleman by the name of General Choi, and what kind of changes was he about to incorporate?
In Korea, you had the Oda Kwan, the Chonda Kwan, the Muda Kwan, all these different Kwans. And what happened is General Choi in 1955, he tried to put everyone together. He wanted to have one art to represent Korea. So each of the Kwans, the main Kwans, donated some technique.
Donating a technique, what did that symbolize?
We back you.
It's only natural to think that when we say Taekwondo, the Kwan in Taekwondo are the Kwans that we're speaking of. That's not true.
It wasn't Taekwondo, it was Taekwon. The two words, one is means school, one means fist. If you look at the Korean character, it's very clear. But to us in English, maybe he made a mistake with the A and O, is a Kwan is a Kwan.
So in this time period, we're not talking about Kwans as in school. We're talking about Kwans as in groups of people. And General Choi is credited for bringing many lives together.
When he brought them all together, and he said, let's make an art for Korea. We have this great martial artist from the Horaengdo to the Tangsu people, the Subak people, all these. Let's put all that together so all the Kwans unified for the sake of the patriotism of their country.
It's only natural to think that this is a positive move by a single man. But in reality, his vision reached farther than the borders.
What pissed off the Koreans is he had the art and they want to make a Korean name, Taekwondo, foot fist art. Okay, great. But he went to take it to the communists. Now, this is fresh after the Korean War. The people weren't North and South. The people were Koreans. But the governments were such and people died fighting. How so fresh a wound can you say, I'm going to introduce Taekwondo to North Korea? You can't do that.
These defensive moves, this way of living, these thoughts, they didn't just suddenly occur. There had to be an origin. If you cut open a tree, there's rings. It's my goal to get to that ring.
I'm Master Todd Harris from Martial Arts University. Bodhidharma, who came from India, traveled and saw these monks in the state they were in, so he came up with an exercise program. The exercise program had self-defense in it. In the temples, you know, where was all the money, where was all the food? It was at the temple. Because when you came to the temple to visit and to pay homage or pray to Buddha, you typically gave some type of offering. Your thieves would come and they would rob the temples, and the monks couldn't do anything about it. So your defense came about from being able to protect the monastery from the thieves.
If we were to look at a modern-day calendar, we're pretty much talking about the 6th century. And in that time period, the land that we know as Korea today was actually 3 divided kingdoms. In Silla, which was the smallest of the 3, there was a group of warriors known as the Harang, or Flower of Manhood. Members of this group were chosen from young sons of the nobility. These young men undoubtedly practiced the ancient Korean fighting system of Subak, but they also studied weapons of war and esoteric subjects such as song and dance. The strength of the Harang warriors was one of the main factors in the unification of the 3 kingdoms under the Xia rule, which was about 670 AD. The Harang lasted through the Silla dynasty and the following Koryo dynasty, which was up until about 1392 when the Yi dynasty began. Now, unfortunately, the warrior philosophy fell out of favor during these relatively peaceful times, and that the fighting art itself pretty much just disappeared in the land. Or did it?
I don't know that anything per se broke it up. If you think about the military, when the United States first came together, you maybe didn't have the Navy, the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the different reserves. As we grew, we had different branches and different things to what we needed at the time. When everything came together, they didn't so much disassociate the group, they probably transformed the group into something that they needed then at that time. I know one of the reasons that the Hwarando is really popular or is well known is because it was one of the first ones of its time that took younger leaders and tried to mold them into older leaders, leaders of the future.
A secret group, something underground.
Why do we have Harvard? Why do we have Yale? Why do we have the secret societies they talk about? Because these things are supposed to mold the leaders, the senators, the congressmen, the presidents of the next generation. I'm sure they still had these same types of things, but maybe their focus wasn't as much on being in the villages with the people, because I know the Hwarando was known for going out into the villages and being there. And while they were there, they were being friendly with the people, teaching them self-defense and teaching them basic things, but at the same time they were scouting the land and learning the topography of what everything was there. They probably just transformed it into what they needed at the time as opposed to just getting rid of it.
Through time, is this the reason why there was a separation between the Kwans?
Yeah, the separation from the Kwans, I don't think came from that standpoint, because that was more of a class type thing. You know, you're middle class, I'm upper class, I can do things you can't. You're female, I'm male. Males can do things that females can't. I think that was more from an economical standpoint or from a sexist standpoint. I think what you see with the Kwans is you had all these different guys, and you know, some of them trained in this style of karate, because when the Japanese took over, they didn't allow Korean martial arts, they didn't allow Korean dress, they didn't allow anything Korean you weren't allowed to do. So now these masters, these people that want to study martial arts, had to study Japanese styles or Chinese styles. What they had was, it boils down to ego, but they didn't want to look at it from, it's the same thing.
Before the Americanization of Taekwondo, there had to be unity without sacrificing history.
This is West Virginia S.H. Kang's Taekwondo Academy. Before Taekwondo, that time wasn't Taekwondo even. What we call the only Tang Sudo or Kung Sudo. Usually that's what we call that time.
The end of World War II in 1945 finally freed the Koreans from Japanese oppression. New feelings of national pride and a desire to restore Korean customs led to the actual establishment of a number of new martial arts schools known as Kwans.
9 Kwan was there, 9 of them. 청도관, 지도관, 동무관, 오도관, 강덕원, 한무관, and 경도관.
It was actually in 1956 when a young third-degree black belt named Jun Ri arrived in San Marcos, Texas, to introduce America to the Korean martial art.
Now I say Taekwondo, but next time we call Tangsudo. Practitioner was in at that time, Tangsudo and Subakdo, Subakdo is a Mudokan, and Gongsudo, and after that, they become some Taesudo, changed to the Taesudo, see?
In 1960, a visit from General Choi convinced him to use the new term Taekwondo for the very first time in the West.
So many different names was it came and finally become Taekwondo was actually officially United States government didn't recognize it.
The term was used by Ri and other Koreans coming to this country in the 1950s and 60s as kind of a brand name to refer to what they still called the karate classes. As Jun Ri once said, we didn't want the Americans to think that we were an Oriental restaurant. They had at least heard of karate. The reality is that Taekwondo of the 1950s and 60s was very much like Japanese karate. I mean, after all, the Korean masters had trained in Japan during the 1930s and 40s during the Japanese occupation. General Choi was a second-degree black belt in Japanese Shotokan karate, and in his second book, he said that Taekwondo was a mixture of karate and Taekyong, which came from Korea.
The government was recognized in 1973 when World Taekwondo Federation born.
The World Taekwondo Federation, the WTF. Federations, associations, and styles can be important because they create a brotherhood or bond between fellow practitioners. Knowing that you've got roots and belong to something larger than yourself helps build the strength and confidence necessary for creating, among other things, spirit. All martial artists take this bonding very seriously. Many have dedicated their lives to the cause of preservation of this style or federation.
When I left Korea, there wasn't this stuff. I'm the old-timer.
That's pretty much Grandmaster Kong's way of saying that Taekwondo is not a sport, but instead a martial art.
Taekwondo should be stay as a martial art, you know. Martial art definition is, as you may know, respect and loyalty and discipline. That's the whole main, most point of the Taekwondo, before physical skill, see? Physical skill aspect, which we have now Olympic sports Taekwondo.
The Olympics. The WTF had been recognized by the International Olympic Committee. Taekwondo became a demonstration sport in the 1988 Olympics, an exhibition sport in the 1992 Olympics, and finally, Taekwondo gained full medal status in the 2000 Olympics.
Olympic sports Taekwondo came from martial art Taekwondo. I'm the first generation brought this country now.
Taekwondo became popular in America because of Hollywood.
You may remember or not, last movie, television about martial art, like a kung fu movie, like a Grasshopper, Grandmaster, all this in the movie, see? Of course, they fascinating physical skill too, but discipline matter too. All that come from general public interesting Taekwondo practitioners increasing, all this come from because of not physical, just a skill. With the physical skill, same time, discipline is combined together.
Martial arts in movies. Bruce Lee, of course, is the most famous. But look at the people that have followed him. Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Truth of the matter is, it puts people inside a dojo.
I'm Sean Baxter with Concord Taekwondo America in Concord, North Carolina. Ask any person off the street that has had no knowledge of martial arts, and you ask them what a black belt represents, and they automatically know. They've seen Karate Kid, they've seen Kung Fu Theater, you know, even if it was just one time, they know what that person goes through to get to that. It might not be a summer with Mr. Miyagi, but it's something that they want to adhere to, and when they walk through the doors and saying, I'm interested in Taekwondo, that what they're really interested in is that accepted sort of knighthood, if you will.
My master, Todd Harris, once said to me, welcome to the first step of your brand new beginning. Watching a martial arts movie really could be the first step of somebody's new life.
They want to rise above themselves and become a person who is both respectful and perhaps respected. It's a hard path.
Why wouldn't there be a form of spirituality or philosophy inside the ranks of Taekwondo? After all, in 79 AD, it started with the monks.
I guess it's, in a sense, the psychology helps me understand the student. The knowledge of that helps me teach a philosophy that they can adhere to. Usually, it's not what I do or what I say. It's what they want. They've come here wanting to learn a kick and punch. It's generally accepted that someone who's a black belt in our society, in our culture, is someone who's spent quite a bit of time achieving that.
Modern-day black belts are tall, short, male, female, Asian, Caucasian, African-American, young, old, skinny, not so skinny. When you achieve black belt, you also affect the life of the modern-day master.
Well, obviously a sense of pride, I guess, in a sense, like watching one of your children being born.
If you can't tell the black belt by his or her appearance, how about by their behavior or attitude? There really should be something different about the way a black belt carries himself or herself. Should be able to control their temper and be a calming influence on others. Should be disciplined, not only in large areas of life, but in very small ones as well. A black belt knows their sense of self-worth, and self-confidence shows in the way that they talk and even walk.
It's been generally accepted that a black belt, the first dan or first degree, is considered the serious student. And everything up to that point was sort of leading up to that. They've now graduated high school and now moving into the serious training of college. So kind of watching my children of sorts graduate high school and kind of moving into that realm of being, you know, serious students and young adults, some of them old adults.
The history has been disputed. The philosophies will always change. But the tradition is that this is a tree. And in every direction we grow as martial artists, we take the original roots with us.
When we look at these traditions that we're handed, we got to keep the art growing.
Master Robert Summers.
Sometimes the tradition of hitting the guy with a boken doesn't cut it in America, you know, and that's not something that's a principle. That's an opinion of how people teach. So I think we should teach more like the dog whisperer, who's the leader of the pack. It's not harmful or hurtful. It's educational, and they enjoy it more.
Master Nam.
If I go back to Korea, if I try to teach any student there what I used to train, the way when I used to training, I think they're not going to accept it. Yeah, it's not about American and it's not about Korean. Because people have more choice to decide, like, this is my style, this is not my style, maybe I can go middle. Time makes the personality change. If we try to compare with the 2,000 years ago training to modern days, I think that's not a right concept. There is no comparison.
In some Taekwondo circles, to become a master, you're required to be a fourth dan. For the American Taekwondo Association, Sean Baxter, who is a fifth dan, is still not looked upon as being a master.
Whether I was destined to be a master, I think it's a choice an individual makes. Do they want to stay on the path? Do they want to maintain that path? Does this particular rank, is it accepted as a master? I believe it's not something that you put on. It's something that you become. I knew in my last rank change from fourth to fifth degree, a change came over me. In my mind, a tangible change. Perhaps that same thing will occur when I do achieve the rank of master.
For Master Evans, it's not always about those in the dojang.
It's the compassion of it. Well, how can I now take my compassion for martial arts and put it into the community? You know, what can I do? And that's where my pull is now is, okay, well, we're doing some great things with the people inside our school. But these are the people that can afford it. What are we going to do now for the people outside?
Master Evans isn't ashamed to call it a gift.
I have a gift. My students have a gift. You know, what's a gift when you don't give it away? That's our goal now, is to give our gift away.
My master in Sabanim, Todd Harris.
You can do anything once you put your mind to it. You can do anything once you decide you can. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
people have achieved things beyond what anybody could fathom because they wouldn't listen to anybody else. Few people around you will ever lift you to where and support you to what you want to do and help you with your dreams. Most people will tell you it's impossible, don't dream that big, you're gonna shoot yourself down, you're gonna disappoint yourself. That's not it at all. You can do it. Bill Gates did it, Fred Smith did it, George Foreman did it, Oprah with her background. They're not the exception. They just had said, I'm going to, there's no other option. And that's what I want them to know. Whether you want to be a martial artist, whether you want to be a trash man, whether you want to own a slew of McDonald's, it doesn't matter. You can do it once you give yourself permission to and you believe you can.
Through Grandmaster Kong's eyes, it's not about the kick, it's not about the punch. It's about sharing the history.
I'm talking about the principle of the Taekwondo, principle of what we believe. That's what I'm talking about. See? That's what part of Taekwondo history is. History is not necessarily where that started with. That's not the point. Point is what true that meaning is. That's the most important, see? Our generation, young generation, your student, your juniors, briefly let them know. Some instructor doesn't know even what I'm talking to you now. Many instructors doesn't know. They claim 7-degree black belt, 8-degree black belt, all name it. That name of a degree is not the point. How much you know, truly how much you've been training, how many years, then continuously then. Then that rank of the martial art automatically come to you.
Vietnamese Buddhist Thich Nhat Hanh writes about authors wanting to paste thoughts of him onto pages of thickness. His reply to this is, write a book about yourself so that your family and friends can learn better to understand you.
Then when you write all this summarized like that, then people carry on. Oh, that's true what martial art taekwondo is all about.
October 5th, 2007. 15 days before my second Dan Black Belt test. I write in my journal, what would I have done? A single man guns down two managers at a very popular restaurant that I produce radio commercials for. A witness on television claims he ran away. As a martial artist, would I have donated my life to help save? Would it be selfish to think that I could? Am I being conceited thinking that I know a way that could have saved their lives? 2 hours after writing this, I learned the man that was killed was my very good friend Vinny. Native Americans teach us that what we do today affects the seventh generation. Hearing this news, I have to ask myself, what kind of peace am I taking to that unseen generation? This is why I'm a martial artist. I put peace first.